ask. Who are you to disrupt the darkness? A crumpled body lay before the saint, clad in rags. It was the first evidence I had found of the 60,000 souls that once worshipped in these halls. My eyes flickered up towards the saint. The shrouded woman frowned down at me, its eyes judging and disapproving. Blood wept from the painted marble eyes. She offered an accusatory glare, the scrunched eyes and furrowed brow of rage against foreign intrusion. Ripples passed along the marble like waves through a disturbed pool of water. The saint's mouth opened, yawning wide and full of cracked teeth.
Iskos.
Its features shifted, blurring into a semblance of my dead brother's, grim and drawn. This was the brother, not as he had been in life, but as my memory painted him. A young soul, utterly without humor, without words, quiet and contemplative.
You are in danger.
I would not bandy words with the demon a second time. I opened fire and recoiled backwards in the same motion. Chunks of stone flew from the statue, but it started to move. It danced towards me, jerking with the grace and speed of a marionette. Bolts hammered into the marble, drawing craters and howls of pain that squealed along my mind like ill-plucked musical notes. Gloved hands, demure and small, reached toward my shield, grasping the edge, pulling it down. The fingers cracked and dented the ceramite. Decay leached through it, breaking the now fragile lip of the shield. Wrought iron cherubs giggled at the fight, fingers pointed in accusation or approbation. The statue shone too, pale white, eating the illumination. My attention diverted from the physical realm, concentrating on weathering the demon's psychic assault. Even as I focused, my body reacted with muscle memory. I pushed with my mind, throwing the demon statue back. The pure light of my psychic hood banished the darkness. The saint's features shifted from Euolades to Lucai. It wore the same broad smile Lucai habitually favored, even as it scrabbled at my shield. Lucai's broken nose and his heavy brow ridge cracked from the marble.
Help me.
It had Lucai's timbre pitched perfectly, the deep sepulchral tone uncanny.
Save me, brother. I am dying.
The last word lanced into my core. It spoke with fear. Real fear staining the words. The tone was mortal, weakened by emotion, not suited to Lucai. The voice was growing weaker, and the statue's movements were less sure. Chunks of marble flew free, careening into the plastered murals on the alcove walls. Corruption spread from the embedded stone, spreading like sickness through old veins, drooling with pollution and taint. The creature sank its claws through my armor with the unknowable strength of the Neverborn, deep into the muscle. Fingers, hardened and blackened by fire, twisted into bone-carved talons, slipped through the ceramite of my greave. Numbness chased the pain, but it lacked the purity of chemical systems. This was an oily void, sapping my strength. I gritted my teeth, and my mental defenses slipped. The demon flowed through my wards, but stopped just short of wresting away my body. It was stopped by my crystal hood, but I could feel it stealing my thoughts, desperately trying to find a way to break me, to turn me to the service of its infernal master. When I looked back up at the statue, My eyes met with Severax's black stare. The smile remained, but now it was a small, subtle gesture. A secretive thing, well suited to Severax's temperament.
Brother, we need you.
The words danced in the air, visibly etched on reality in tongues of flame. They flickered.
No!
Stop mocking me! My words echoed and joined the demons. I pictured words of banishment in my mind, but they had no effect. The demon laughed them away, its chuckling echoing darkly through me. My conviction, my utter confidence in my abilities wavered and gutted the banishment before it could take effect. My leg pistoned down, booted foot crushing the baleful gaze of the withered husk. I kicked it away. My arm was wrenched wide, the demon statue grinning out at me through too many mouths. It whispered my name, its voice once again utterly inhuman. Names have power. Each syllable was a promise of desperate, forbidden knowledge and unending pain. The statue blurred, and now I was looking at myself. There was the hook nose, of the type that Kievarans called Imperial, said to be the genetic legacy of Terran colonizers. I had been told that parents on my homeworld claimed that such a mark prophesied greatness. Perhaps my mother had once whispered that to me, in the days before my ascendance. The confused look on the face was a mirror. Pain sparkled in eyes that resembled pools of blackness.
You will not have me, demon!
The bolter fell from my grasp as I tore my sword from its sheath. Firelight revealed words carved down the curved blade in the scratch script of deliverance. Sine qua non. In High Gothic, it meant, without which there is nothing. It was a talon-shaped thing, wicked and cruelly sharp, curving away from the wielder and towards those who were soon to die. What power I possessed, I channeled through the blade, and every movement a torture, I stepped forward and drove it into the demonic statue's head. The action left me shaken. Stabbing myself in the face was not a welcome experience, nor one I had expected. The sword crunched through the marble, and the demon screamed with my voice, a sound of anguish and pain. The statue deanimated, cracked and crashed to the metal deck. Smoke gently wafted from the broken marble. Its voice crawled out from the broken head of the husk. I turned to see the body that had grabbed my leg scampering along the floor, scuttling like a spider. I reloaded my bolter and did not stop firing until the tatters of dehydrated and desiccated flesh ceased moving. My mind ached. The numbness in my leg continued to spread, but the demon was gone. Banished into the warp through the rite of violence. I still bear its marks on my calf. 5 black spots against the white of my skin. The lumens reignited. Not just the red emergency lighting, but the cold yellow glow of full function. The static in my ear ceased. I could hear the hunting calls of tactical and assault squads moving through the hull.
Severax, where are you? I have encountered the Neverborn. I believe we have been lured here.
Severax answered quickly.
Cheval, where are you?
Hellfire and damnation.
No one likes to be toyed with. Me least of all. Whatever malign intelligence was at work on this vessel was keeping me separate from my brothers, forcing me down paths of its own devising. Beneath beaten copper filigree and through halls lined with tin and graffiti, past empty canteens and sleeping quarters, I wandered. The darkness, so much of a comfort to me and my psyche, had lost its luster. I wanted to be reunited with Severax and Lukai. Severax and Lukai, men who wanted command, wanted to lead. We had once been eight. Now we were three. Three heroes, or so we thought. Warriors who would shape our chapter and carry the glorious history of our forebears on our broad shoulders. We were young and naive. Lukai assured us that we were meant for great things. I never doubted him. He had a way of convincing you, a way of making every word sound sincere and glorious. His was the only voice that ever convinced me that glory was worth pursuing. Lukai and Severax may have looked forward to the glory they would earn. I faced ever backwards. I would not forget the brothers who had passed, died so that we might become what we are. Lukai always assumed the role of packmaster. He would be chapter master one day, he claimed. The master of shadows. I hated the title. Found it trite and cliched. But Lukai coveted it. That Severax had been given command over this mission, that Captain Erival favored him with such a lofty honor, must have been a savage blow to Lukai's pride. Severax would be his strong right arm as captain of the first company, Lukai often said. I would be his left, chief librarian. That, he claimed, was our destiny. That Severax and I desired neither of those roles mattered little. Severax coveted command of the chapter for himself. I would have been content to serve as line brother. Fate had other plans. Something skittered above me. But when I looked, there was only a fresco of cavorting cherubs and beatific saints. They watched with a predatory gaze, eyes painted sharp and shining in the gloom.
Brothers, I have found the habitation quarters. The evidence of the pilgrims' lives is all around me, but of the humans themselves there is no sign. I will find the answer here. Where are you? Where do you fight?
I called into the vox for what seemed like the thousandth time. I quested outwards with my mind as well, but I received no answer. At least, not one I sought. Instead, a new voice answered. It belonged to a man, a mortal, honest and fearful and old. Distrust flooded through me.
Hello? Who is this?
I could hear hope blooming in the voice. I contemplated leaving him be, but remembered my duty to the Imperium of Man. Inwardly, I cursed at this distraction. This would lead me away from my brothers, prolong my separation. But duty called, and I was no arrogant fool to deny it. I should have, but instead I answered.
Are you an angel?
My answer took seconds to formulate. I would not give him my name, not across this fox. Names have power. Since my ascension, I have had limited interaction with mortals not sworn to the Adeptus Astartes. This was, to my knowledge, the first time I had spoken with a civilian. In a way, I did not know how to address him. If my voice was unsure, if it lacked conviction and decisiveness, I hoped that such flavors would be stolen by vox distortion.
I am Raven Guard.
It was a poor answer, but true. He paused. I could almost hear tears in his voice.
Raven Guard. Space Marine. We are saved.
Your location?
My flock are in a storage hold near the Engineerium. Are you coming for us?
I checked the plans for the vessel on my helm display. Their location was about 2 kilometers aft of me.
Stay quiet. I am coming.
The demons attacked me from above, drifting down from the darkness. They glowed a horrific yellow, like bioluminescent sea creatures. Tentacles waved from them, caught in some etheric current. These lacked even the wit to taunt. They were mindless things, breathers of fire. One had the drooling face of an idiot madman, wreathed with gently swaying seaweed. The other growled from behind a mask crafted from antlers. Both vomited fire from their mouths, from holes in their bodies ringed with teeth and grasping fangs. My helmet refused to focus on the creatures, refused to capture their image. I reached instead with my mind. I trusted to the psychic hood that protected me to keep me safe. Fire, the color of rust, rushed over my shield. The bright light hurt my black eyes, even through the lenses of my helmet. The shield glowed cherry red. Smoke drooled from the metal, and the paint of my gauntlet bubbled. Warning runes danced across my vision. I was being pushed back, retreating from the fire. I put 2 rounds through the idiot's smile, and the demon lost hold on reality. It collapsed into a pile of gently steaming jelly. The other demon shuddered, wavering. It died seconds later, slammed into the wall and crushed beneath the weight of my shield. Moving through the darkness, I tried to focus my thoughts, to follow the mantras of my teachers in the chapter Librarius. More candles burned, tiny flames peeking through mounds of heaped wax, crushed into rusted, savage tears in the ship's structure.
Iskos.
My concentration shattered.
Again with this shade?
Yes, again. You are in danger, brother.
Of course I am in danger. I am alone in the darkness on a ship haunted by a demon speaking to another demon.
Do not trust, Iskos. It is a weakness.
Around me, the candles died. As I passed through a cavernous hold, great sheets of metal bolted over hangar doors, I became aware of a whimpering, mewling behind me. More demon things, more battle against the foul darkness. The mewling deepened into a ball, tiny breaths sucked into creaking lungs. It grew in intensity, stalking forward. Padded feet scraped against the rusted metal floor like a hunting cat. 3 clips remained for my bolter. Soon, I would be down to just my sword and my mind, limited to close combat. This was not a prospect I looked forward to.
Show yourself!
The source of the sounds emerged from the darkness. A small, frail old man stumbled out of the shadows, hands pressed against his eyes. The hands dropped. An acrid scent filled the room, like ammonia. I aimed my bolter, threat reticules targeting the being. Words began to tumble from the being's mouth, the thing that manifested as an old man. I relaxed my shield. Something stirred within me, some long-forgotten repressed emotion. My bolter dropped, and I dismissed the targeting reticules with finality. The same word kept being repeated, kept flying from the man's mouth. I unfurled my mind, stretching it out. Only the background horror of the ship remained. This man was no threat. I held out a hand, and the old man stumbled out of the darkness. skinny arms, little more than bones wreathed in flesh, wrapped around one of my legs, clad in tatters and rags, tattooed with imperial devotions and crowned by a mop of grey hair. The man cried, tears dripping onto the black of my warplate. I caught the worshipful praise of thanksgiving and deliverance in his thoughts. A question flew out from his drooling mouth, words jumbled. I stole the meaning from the air rather than from his accent.
Are you an angel?
I had no answer for him. I felt ashamed, horrified by this encounter. A flash of warmth spread up my features and my scalp prickled. Gently, I tried to ease the man away from me, away from my armor. He would not budge, and I did not want to push harder in case I broke him.
Please, I must go. You must stay. You will not be safe if you follow me into the darkness.
He cocked his head to the side, like he was trying to understand the words I framed. I addressed him in the Gothic that was native to Deliverance.
I came to find you. To lead you to my flock.
Your name?
The old man trembled.
Salvatore, angel. Father, Salvatore.
Salvatore. A good name?
I did not know if it was, but I felt it appropriate to the situation.
Please.
He hit his stride and began to babble.
My family, my flock. The monsters are everywhere. The Emperor sent you. He must have sent you. You're an angel, one of his angels.
The man relinquished his hold on my leg and backed up. Tears still flowed down his cheek, but they looked to be tears of awe now.
I will follow. I will go where you lead, angel.
I sighed and set off down the hold. We must have made a comical sight to whatever entities watched. A space marine, big, bulky, and threatening in the armor of blackest night, and the old man that followed at his heels. The vox crackled again. This time it was Severax's voice.
Drevel, brother, reroute to the Engineerium.
The message cut out. He waited for no response. My lip curled. But it was good to hear the familiar cadences of Deliverance. It was still strange to take orders from one of my oldest friends. If it was really Severax. The old man spouted a number of questions, flowing so fast I had no means of understanding them. I caught words here and there. Why? Featured heavily. Doorways into nothing yawned to either side of us. A choice dawned. Explicit orders had been given. It may have been a demon taunting me, but I couldn't be sure. If there was the chance that it was a genuine order, I had to follow it. But I was 200 meters from the trapped civilians, 200 meters from being their salvation. I could almost smell the pilgrims huddled in the dark, nearly hear and taste their despair. This was a chance to gain knowledge and understanding. This was a chance to find what had happened aboard the San Sebastian, to find what had invited the fiends aboard this ship. Yet, duty pulled at me. I was under the command of Severax, and he had issued orders. This was his first command, and I was honor-bound to support him. I wavered, torn with indecision.
Space Marine, my flock is this way. Why do you stop? Why do you linger? Please.
I have orders to continue to the Engineerium.
Hurry, please. They are alone. They are without protection.
I made my decision.
Then pray for them. I will do the rest.
It would do no good, not in the face of the demons infesting the ship, but it might help to set his mind at ease. I ran. unheeding of whether he was at my heels. Bolts screamed into immaterial flesh. Lunging shapes grew more distinct the longer I stared at them. Unearthly whispers tugged at my mind, pulsing in time with the light from my crystal hood.
Knowledge! Power! I grant you power, Iskos Kemel. Remake the Raven Guard in your image. You need but accept my gift. Of what use is a soul?
A demon lunged as it spoke, spiked limbs stabbing toward me. I battered it away with my shield.
Unity! I will bring your brothers to you! Feast on their souls while they die!
Another demon spat flames from grinning mouths, blistering the paint on my shield. Temptations clawed at the facets of my soul, the blandishments of the Neverborn. I ignored them all. If some sounded like my brothers, if they whispered in the voices of the long dead, then I tried to put them out of my mind, tried to ignore it. As one, the demons left the door alone and turned to face me. They streamed towards me in a cavalcade of madness. I set my feet, maglocking them to the deck. Imperial saints gazed down in empathy from the ceiling. I fired until my bolter ran empty. I fired until half the demons were nothing but incandescent gobs of flesh. They discorporated, denied their brief foray into reality. I could feel them, wailing on the other side of existence, pressing in at the fabric of real space. My feet left the floor as I disengaged the maglock, jumping back. Sine qua non fairly flew into my hand. My backpack whined, throwing the buzzing growl of its power as I pushed forward. My shield slammed into a demon, a howling mass of loosely connected flaming leaves. Then my sword licked into its core, bright with the light of my mind. Three more drooled behind it. There was no room for finesse, nor the fancy blade work of sword masters like Zerard Mecha. There was no room for intelligence, just instinct. This was battle at its most intense, at its most personal. Strength matched strength. This was the purity of the Adeptus Astartes against the unreasoning blasphemy of the Neverborn. I tried to avoid the tentacles, the pseudopods, the death that flew at me with each second. The old man cowered behind me, shouting half-formed prayers at beings that owed nothing to evolution and everything to some madman's palate.
Bless this son of Korix, this angel of death who acts in your name. Bless this shadow.
Ducking beneath a hand covered in gnashing teeth, I raised my shield, crouched low, settling on my haunches. My other arm swept beneath, cutting demons off at what passed for their knees. I sprang upwards.
Victory or death!
Those words, inscribed in High Gothic at the departure hall of the Ravenspire by the Primarch Korax himself, had never seemed more appropriate. We were no techno-barbarians, no frothing madmen without discipline. Corvus Korax, honor to that dark and shrouded soul, had taught us the way of things. War with reason, with purpose, with ideals. We fought not just for the joy of it, but because we believed in our causes. The demons responded in kind. They gabbled at me from misshapen mouths and maws, mocking creatures of the warp, twisted souls, emotions given life. I did not know their true origin, but they corrupted my words, flung them back in my face. They spoke with one voice.
Defeat or life! Death in victory!
The words twisted in knots. They retained a basic form, as if the demons followed some prescribed path. I bashed my shield forward and hit only empty air. In my zeal, I broke through them. They were now behind me. I wheeled, turning as fast as transhuman reactions allowed. I was nowhere near fast enough. Clawed appendages cracked through my gorget, stabbing into my neck. Electric pain washed through my body. My vision turned white. I may have screamed. Sine qua non flashed upwards and carved through the appendages. The pain dulled as the systems of my armor compensated for the trauma.
Victory or death!
The demon vanished from reality.
Jebel!
The vox Jebel! Crackled
Jebel,
to life, returned to function
Jebel,
once
respond!
More with the death of the Neverborn.
Jebel, come in!
I could hear the hunting
Jebel,
calls
respond!
Of the third company. This must be real. Joy danced through my soul.
I have found you.
Severax answered first.
Iskos, where are you?
The habitation chambers. I have located survivors.
He hesitated. A minute thing, but I could hear a question he would not ask.
Hurry! We have cornered the Neverborn in the Engineerium. Lukai is racing ahead.
Duty pulled at me. On the one hand, my commander had spoken. On the other, these people demanded protection. Two concepts warred with one another. Stay loyal to the orders of the commander I followed, or stay loyal to the purpose for my creation. The former was an easy choice, the easy path. Many of my brothers would have taken it without hesitation. Severax, Lukai, Mecca. Each would sacrifice these pilgrims in the name of the greater good, weighing the utility of salvation. It was a harsh choice, but perhaps the best one. Yet not one I could make.
I will be there as soon as I have discharged my duty.
Do not tarry over long. Lukai is yelling about glory again.
The last was posed with sardonic humor, and I could hear the smirk in Severax's words. It was as close as my brother ever came to contempt. I pushed on to where the humans were hiding. Pilgrims boiled out, clutching makeshift weapons. They fell to their knees in joyous worship at the sight of me. Father Salvatore was suddenly furtive behind me, shy. His eyes were cast down, refusing to meet the gaze of these newly rescued pilgrims. Then he was swept away by the crowd, lost in the swarming tide of desperate humanity. Discomfort prickled along my limbs. I did not know what to say. I did not know what to do. Nothing in my training had prepared me for such a meeting. My mind recoiled at being surrounded by so many unguarded thoughts, at such unbridled joy. Hands touched my armor, furtive at first. I removed my helmet, hoping to put the pilgrims at ease. Several of them recoiled, clearly unnerved at the sight of my pale skin and black eyes. I looked around.
This room is not defensible.
This should have been obvious, even to such as them. There were too many doors, too many routes of entrance. They nodded at the perceived wisdom of my words. Time ticked away as I considered the options available to me. All the while, I was aware of my brothers fighting and dying in the darkness, unprotected from the demons that hungered for their souls. But I could not leave these innocent souls undefended.
You require a safer location. Stay close. Do as I say.
We left the room. I watched for the priest, but could not see him.
Drive far away our ghostly foe.
The Neverborn did not trouble us, did not manifest to steal these souls. I could feel the demons watching, feel them pressing in at reality, but none attacked. Our group wandered half a kilometer in the darkness. Even as I led these people, I itched to leave them, to move on and find my brothers. The humans twitched at every shadow, balked at every noise. Our path took us to a chapel dedicated to the Imperial Creed. I had noted the location during the briefing we had received from the captain. It was a good position. One entrance, one exit. The trappings of faith and fealty, the benevolent statue of the Emperor and the beatific murals gracing the walls might provide a comfort, and perhaps some tangible protection, to the souls who sought refuge. I could see Father Salvatore standing near the altar, a beatific smile gracing his lined features.
Seal the doors after I leave.
You will not stay?
No, my duty lies elsewhere. I must find my brothers.
There are more angels?
Of course. The third company of the Raven Guard cleanses this vessel.
You weren't sent by the Emperor as answer to our prayers?
I was amazed at the way faith drowned reason and logic for these mortals. Did these pilgrims believe we sprang from the warp to aid the faithful? I struggled for a response.
In a way, we were. We serve in his name. We came to drive the filth from this ship.
Please, Lord, I beg you, vouchsafe our souls. Stay here. Protect us.
True remorse flowed through me.
I'm sorry.
Then grant us a token of your protection, not for me, for them.
The old priest gestured to the other pilgrims, stick-thin men and women clad in stinking rags, children, their faces genic echoes of their parents clutching at their legs. Salvatore was the only one of them who was truly calm, the only one without fear. Without hesitation, I drew my combat knife, marked with the script of deliverance and the sigil of the flying raven. The blade was a fierce one.
By the gift of this blade, forged on Kievar, you are under the protection of a warrior of the Raven Guard. It will keep you safe.
I tried to phrase it as ritualistically as possible, aiming for the melodramatic. We had no such oaths prepared for this purpose. From the look on their faces, the wide-eyed awe, I had succeeded. I placed the weapon in Salvatore's hands, watched as he staggered under its weight. It was a symbolic gesture. In truth, the blade meant little. Thousands are stamped fresh from the forges on Kievar every year. It was the most humble weapon in our arsenal. He looked untrained, incapable of making full use of the weapon. From the look he gave me beneath the reverence, he knew it too.
Come back when you can, Brother Jevon.
I emerged from the Stygian depths of the ship's passageways. Guilt, still raw as salt rubbed into a wound, flowed through me. I knew in my heart that I had likely left those pilgrims to die. Severax was there to meet me. For some unknown reason, he wore no helm. His plain features greeted me without emotion. His face was the color of cave-hidden corpse skin. In the red-striped fires of the Engineerium, he looked pinched and ghoulish. The raven's wing tattoo, in echoed imitation of the gang markings of Kievar, showed white on white.
Iskos!
He clapped me on the shoulder. His squadmates were arrayed around him, half hidden in shadow. He pointed down to the battlescape below, as my brothers held the demons. Watching the flow of battle, watching the demonic tide surge against my black-armored brothers, I desired to add my own volleys of bolt shells to the tempests that tore the Neverborn to pieces.
Bide. Your moment will come.
Severax returned to the constant stream of orders he offered to the squads fighting below. The demons receded, thrown back from the fury of the sons of Korax. The moment Severax had been waiting for came. Dark whispers heralded its arrival. Clouds of cinnamon smoke erupted from the demons, and they screeched as one into a cackling laugh. Cold pierced my hearts with the gentle caress of premonition. A voice, an old voice, broke through the laughter.
Are you an angel?
No!
Recognition burned through me. I knew in that moment that I had betrayed the pilgrims. I had led their doom to them. The laughter grew. Then came the birth scream of the demon's puppet master. In the center of the mass of Neverborn stood one of the leaders of their loathsome kind. One moment, there was nothing. The next, it was there. In sealed imperial records, to those cursed with the knowledge, the breed were coded Lords of Change, Feathered Lords, or the Watching Madness. None of the terms captured the dark magnificence of the demon. Beings such as this had turned entire chapters of our cousins to the service of ruin. If we did not banish it now, if we did not break its hold on reality while it was so newly born, the damage it could cause would be incalculable. Like all demons, their forms were mutable, as varied as the stars in the sky. This one appeared as a cross between an old man and a vulture, clad in tattered robes of still sentient skin. Its face was old and lined, framed by wisps of feathered beard. It locked eyes with me from across the room. Its voice was rotten with earnest innocence and unfathomable amusement.
Are you an angel?
Its malignant mind battered at my own. Words like honeyed knives and sharpened secrets hissed at me in languages I had never heard before or since. Beating wings of fire and cobwebs, it did what its minions had not. It pushed my brothers back, hurling them against support beams. Our cohesion was lost. The squads recovered quickly, leaping to their feet and reopening fire before the demons could take advantage of the confusion. Severax voxed one word to me, his voice dispassionate and low.
Go.
He was too late. I was already moving. I leapt over the rail meant to safeguard mortal lives. I landed on the hot steel, splashing into immaterial blood, cracking the deck beneath me. Severax and his squad followed seconds later. The Engenarium was overcome by madness. The Neverborn, in all their myriad manifestations, screamed, howled, and gibbered. There, in the midst of the horror, stood Lukai, bolt pistol breaking chitinous carapaces from a mewling demon. He pistoned his other arm forward, driving a lightning claw into the face of a red-skinned horror. He had led his squad into the Neverborn, driving a wedge into their numbers. But they were in danger, overextended. Lukai's squad were nearly surrounded by demons, threatened.
Return to the line, Amanda.
No, we can kill this thing.
Their salience was failing with their momentum. One of Lukai's squad was wreathed in green fire, crumbling swiftly into ash. Then their cordon broke, and demons poured through. In seconds they were overrun. The entire squad pulled beneath a squall of screaming demons. I could feel Lukai's pain, and see as he saw. A spider's fang ran through his chest, dripping venom. His fall was slow, measured and controlled, Blood arced through the volcanic heat, forming a misted haze of crimson. He clattered forward onto his face. Neverborn covered him.
I could feel the pain, the anguish that rolled from him.
Sine qua non blazed with the light of my soul. I bellowed and drove forwards, the sword held high, power and light forming a corona around my brow. Severax followed. Darkness leapt from my hand, but it dissipated against the demons. I cut down, severing grasping pseudopods. I thundered my shield into the face of an avian thing, cracking its beak and driving it out the back of its misshapen skull. Severax was the first to reach Lukai, hunkered behind his own shield. He yelled, mouthing words that had no meaning save that they conveyed his grief. Blasphemous sounds, wrought into bullets, crafted from their own flesh, studded into the ceramite of his shield and his armor. Blood ran out in red streams, shining dark against his black armor. Severax ignored the pain, ignored the wounds. I could hear his mind struggling to make sense of what had happened. He shouted, still mouthing nonsense, still nearly broken by grief. In his mind, I heard two words repeated over.
Not again! Not again! Not again! Not again!
I was calm, despite the guilt and the grief that gnawed at my soul. My vision narrowed. It became a tunnel, down which I could see memories. I shoved them away. I was surprised to hear myself speaking into the vox, even as I slashed at demons and warded blows with my shield.
Focus, Corvin. Grieve later. Save him now.
The situation was surreal. I gave orders to Severax, my oldest friend, the man who would one day be chapter master. His thoughts crystallized, reformed. Cold logic came to the fore again.
Of course, Iskos. You are right.
He stood, regal and proud, dark in the ruddy light of the Engineerium, framed by fire.
Victory or death!
In the shadow of the Primarch!
The rest of Severax's squad arrived, and Lukai was encased in a cordon of black armor. Mirab, Zegun, Mecha, and Hel opened fire at the demons that slavered for our souls. We pushed out in a ring. Severax led us. Five Space Marines, five Raven Guard, faced down a greater demon. It screeched its defiance and mockery at us in a voice like hissing, coiling snakes.
Submit or don't, I will enjoy.
Mecha lobbed a grenade down its open throat.
Grenade!
The demon swallowed. And its neck erupted into a flight of burning beetles. The swarm reformed, and the demon appeared little the worse for wear. The demon turned a baleful eye toward a brother carrying a missile launcher. It spat a word in some sorcerous tongue. The word hung in the air, blazing like a cancerous star, pulsing with a light that ate the mind. The Space Marine erupted into a pillar of salt. Blood poured from my eyes, trailing down my cheeks. I took a running jump, projecting my mind outwards, mentally projecting all the words of banishment I had been taught. My sword arced towards one of its talons, severing three of the 20 fingers that gripped its golden staff. Severax gunned his chainsword through the demon's torso, cutting a hole in the immaterial flesh. Zeghul shoved a brace of grenades into the hole. The demon's staff caught Zeghul in the chest, swiping him into the far reaches of the chamber with a crack of broken ceramite. Then, its flesh expanded, erupted, filled with fire. Demons began to discorporate as reality reasserted. But the greater demon, the Lord of Change, was not defeated. Flame burst among a squad of my brothers, touching off the munitions carried by a Devastator. 5 Space Marines died in fury, barely cognizant of their own passing, their brave souls screaming into the warp, casting out their hatred and their frustration. We flung our strength at the demon, heroes all. It took over an hour to die. Cut and carved, shattered and stolen. 21 more of the Third Company fell in the process, torn to pieces by claws or foul sorcery. But for every battle brother who died, we did more damage to the creature. By the end, it was a wheezing mass of glistening flesh, rent asunder by bolter and blade. By the end, it was weakened, dying. I declaimed the rites of banishment, crafted by some unknown hand. And the demon obeyed, shrinking with each word. I strode toward it, shouting now, bellowing. My brothers followed behind, their bolters providing a righteous counterpoint to the tempo of the ancient rite. Eventually, it retreated.
Save me! Save yourselves! I will give you power beyond anything you could ever dream of!
There was only one response, and Severax and I delivered it together.
Victory or death!
Desperation haunted the demon's voice. It writhed against the metal deck, blasphemous blood eating into the soot-coated steel.
Please, I will tell you your future. I will save you from the coming storm. I will make you the coming storm.
Enough, demon. Cease your blasphemy.
It shrank as we hurt it, bleeding more and more of its blasphemous bulk back into the Empyrean. It tried one last tactic, offered one last temptation.
I know where your Primarch is. Let me live, let me swim in reality. Grant me your souls, and I will tell you where he is. I will take you to him, please.
There was a moment's hesitation, so small but alarming, before that too was drowned in the thunder of our guns firing.
In nomine Imperator! Return to hell, demon!
Sine qua non soared into the demon's chest, cutting through the tatters of its flesh. Light flared, bright and painful, while my sword bit into its cancerous chest. Past redundant and bizarre organs, through seas of lidless eyes, sine qua non bit deep. Milky light ate the demon's eyes. Fire crawled through its limbs. A smile curled its lips. The demon screamed as it dissipated. Blood thundered fresh from my nose, ears, and eyes. I was nearly blind. A hand steadied me, resting gently on my shoulder. I removed my helmet and wiped the blood away.
We won, brother.
Severax's eyes were shining in the red furnace glow. Already the dead were being led away, taken back to our ship, the Veil of Ignorance. So many. The Third Company would take a decade to recover.
How is Lukai?
I surveyed my armor as I spoke, seeking breaks in my psychic wards.
He lives?
Severax's gaze was drawn to the trailing dead like metal to a lodestone.
Good.
My body relaxed as relief flooded through me.
Not really. He is too badly wounded. He may be interred in a dreadnought chassis if the apothecaries can save him.
I grew cold. Such a fate. To be kept alive. But what kind of life?
An end to his ambition.
My mind turned to the pilgrims. I needed to know, or their fate would haunt me. I entreated the assistance of Severax and Mecca to return with me to the pilgrims, to usher them to safety if they yet lived, though I knew that was a vain hope. The guilt that gnawed at me, undermining the decision that I had made, grew worse with every passing second. My thoughts rolled, almost frantic. My brothers, who came with me, could not understand. Their souls trod simpler paths. The loss of life was regrettable to them, but necessary. Why waste thought on the innocent when duty called?
What is wrong, Iskos?
I made a mistake. I should have seen this.
I let my words trail off. The situation was unconscionable, and I could not describe it. The oppression that haunted this ship still lingered, even after the demons had been banished. As we entered the habitation quarters, the sickly smell of cinnamon and cloves grew overwhelming. Mecca shot a look to Severax, thinking I would not notice. I could feel concern bleeding from him, but alarm also. I quelled him with a half-hearted wave. I could sense the track of Mecca's thoughts. While he was concerned, in the manner of a friend, he feared my mind lost or broken by the Neverborn.
There was a priest.
As if that meant anything to them.
I found him in the hangar. He followed me and I left him with the surviving pilgrims.
Why?
I felt pity for them. For him.
You think you were tricked? That it was some ploy of the demons?
I nodded. I resisted the urge to punch the wall.
To what end?
I could not answer. I did not want to. To try to understand the ways of the demon is a path to madness. Severax's voice was soft, but tinged with a lurking lesson. He was always quick to teach and quick to lecture. Were his ambitions not so high, he would have made an excellent captain of the 10th Company.
No.
My friend grabbed me by the shoulders, stopped me in the corridor.
Remember this. Remember the price of pity. The Black Templar, so wrong in everything else, have got the right of it when they say, no pity, no remorse, no fear.
Sounds echoed strangely, infecting Severax's words with a growling menace and the hint of prophecy. Severax and Mecca brought their bolt guns out as we entered the chamber where I had left the pilgrims. The room was empty and bare. All the murals had been scraped off the walls, off the ceilings. Every surface had been scratched down to bare steel. The taint of corruption grew overwhelming, pounding into my skull. I felt like vomiting. The warp lurked in the room, shimmering like a rad-wasted landscape. The corruption itself was subtle, lacking the obvious outward visual cues of the hallways leading here. It afflicted the spirit.